hello. I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. I have enjoyed my week. I made dandelion jelly and violet jelly, two of my favorite things, and I haven't been able to make these in over 2 years because our land has not had enough violets or dandelions to make jelly, and so it's finally recovered enough. So I was very excited about that. But today's video is carrying on with the series on biblical womanhood, the home economy, taking God at his word. My first video was more of an umbrella video talking about Titus 2, and then I started talking about, can you be a homemaker in this economy, living by faith, taking God at his word for women to prioritize loving their husbands, loving their children, being keepers of the home, then I believe God will make a way for us to do those things. Will we take God at his word? That is what living by faith looks like. And to be Christian women in this culture, you have to live by faith because it is so countercultural. It is so against the grain. People look at you like you're crazy for following God's ways. Because we are a peculiar people, so we're not going to look like the world. And that is why I love the stories that I shared in my last video, the books of people who lived radical lives of obedience. And I find their stories so encouraging because they took God at his word. They followed him. And even when they ended up in circumstances that were not good, that were beyond their control, they still trusted in God. They put their faith in Jesus and gave it to him to work out the details. And God did miracles in their life. And that is what is so encouraging. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so faith is hoping for something. Faith is setting an expectation, and the expectation is upon the Lord. I've had to learn with my own circumstances that hope isn't in the end goal. My hope must be in Jesus. My hope must be in knowing who he is and what his word says, and trusting in the unknown that I don't know how he's going to bring this all together. But he says he works all things together for the good of those who love him. That is where my faith is. And then you're having an expectation. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. And why? Because of testimony. What God has done over and over and over again for people, I can cling to that he will work things together for my good. That's the encouragement of reading stories from people who obey Jesus. And it's the encouragement of reading our Bible. The Bible is alive today. I was in the shower this morning. Sometimes when I'm in the shower, I'll just ask God, is there something you want me to read today in my Bible that I maybe wouldn't open up to? And what came to my mind this morning was Esther and Psalm 119. And it's amazing because I have been praying about doing this video for a while. I stew on my videos before I record them. I was amazed because when I read Psalm 119, throughout Psalm 119, it talks about testimony over and over again. And what's cool is this is my old Bible. And so all of the spots where it's talking about testimonies, I actually have it highlighted, but I'll just read a few. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. And that's Psalm 119, 111. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. And then verse 138, you have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. And then verse 144, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. And so testimonies are encouraging to us. Testimonies are good to put in your pocket, to hide in your heart. When I was single, I filled myself up with testimonies, good testimonies of married couples, of how wives met their husbands. I treasured them. I craved hearing stories of how God was involved in people's love stories. And how I met Scott, God's fingerprints is all over it. If it hadn't been for God, I would never have met Scott. That's the power of testimony. And so today I'm going to share testimony of our first year of marriage, how God always provided for us a place to live. And I'm sharing this with you not to boast upon myself. I think sometimes people are afraid of sharing testimonies because they think that you're bragging about yourself. But if you're saying, this is what God has done, we did not know how this was going to work out. In our own vision, we did not know how to do it, but this is how God worked it out for us. That's testimony to God's goodness. That's testimony to God's provision. It wasn't because of anything we did. It was because of everything that God did for us. And so that's why I want to share this housing testimony story, because it may not apply to your situation. You may live at the house that you're in for the rest of your life. Praise God, what a blessing. But maybe there's other areas of your life where you are living completely dependent upon God. And so that's why I want to share this housing testimony story, how God always provided for us a place to live. We've moved, I counted the other day, 10 times since we've been married. And so this first year of marriage, of us moving and God providing us a place to live, I feel was God showing that He never failed us. And so every other point in life when we had to move, we looked back at this first year of marriage, seeing that God did the impossible for us, and we knew that God would provide for us. We never doubted. Even to the point of this move, when we moved here, we had every reason to panic. We could have been very worried, very concerned, and taken matters into our own hands and just went and got an apartment because that was the wise thing to do just to get it done. But we were like, we're not going to settle for an apartment. We do not have peace about going into an apartment. We are going to trust that God will provide. It was a supernatural peace, but I believe it's because we've built a history with God in this area. We have known that He has always provided for us a place to live, and He did. It did not make sense in the natural realm how we got to this place, but God. So, rewind to 2016. That's when Scott and I got married. We met in South Africa. He came to America, met my family. We got engaged, and then we were getting married. So we were, from the time we met to when we got married was just a few days over 6 months. And so when we were engaged, I was living with my sister and a friend in a rental house, and Scott was living with my sister's then boyfriend, now husband, in his townhouse, and he lived in the basement, and they lived 5 minutes from each other. So that's where we were when we were engaged. We were in Lexington, Kentucky. And for context, our thought process when we were getting married was that we were going to be missionaries. We wanted to do mission work. That is where we met. Was I was in South Africa and I had a heart for missions. Scott was getting ready to go to a mission school before he met me, and then he met me, and then those plans went out the window. And so we still had this vision that we were going to do mission work. But because Scott's from South Africa, we had to go through the immigration process, and we really wanted to do things the royal way. I believe it's Brother Andrew who refers to the royal way. And so that's how we wanted to go through the immigration system, do everything above board, do everything the right way. And everyone told us that it's easier to go through the immigration process while in America. Once you put in an application for your green card, you are not allowed to leave the country until that comes through. The problem is you don't know when that is going to come through. So in our mind, we were planning on always going back to South Africa for 3 months to figure out if that is where God wants us. And I had never been to where Scott's from. Where I was in South Africa is 10 hours away from where Scott's from, where his family is. And so we also wanted to go back and meet his family, see his family, and I wanted to experience his life in South Africa. And so that was always the plan. So that is the context for when we're getting married. We did not want a lease. We did not want to get tied down to a place, because in our mind, as soon as Scott's immigration came through, and we were pretty naive, we thought it would be much faster than it actually was. And now knowing how long it takes, ours actually went very fast to where it is now. But at that time, we thought it was just going to be, oh, a few months. So 3 weeks before we got married, we realized, okay, we need a place to live. And we looked at a few apartments and they were in dodgy parts of town. We didn't feel comfortable with living in those areas. And I was working at Trader Joe's and a friend from Trader Joe's told us about this older couple that she's really good friends with. And they have a basement apartment and it's empty. And they have thought about renting it out to people, but they don't want to just rent it out to anyone. They want to know who it's going to. And praise God for my friend. She recommended us to them. So we went and visited it, and this place, the basement, they turned it into this adorable apartment. It was fully furnished. The wife was this eclectic artist lady, so she had a very unique style, not something that Scott and I would ever choose, but it worked for the space. It was this cozy basement apartment. And we had nothing. The only piece of furniture that I owned was a circle couch, which is like the most useless piece of furniture that it is. But to this day, we still have it because it's my favorite piece of furniture. It's moved with us everywhere. And so that's the only thing I owned. And that was still at my sister's house and my friend's house that they were renting. We left it there. But it was a huge blessing that this house was fully furnished because we literally had nothing. And so at first we were like, well, we don't know how we feel about this. But then the more we looked into other places, the more we knew, okay, this is a blessing. I think it cost us $750 a month to rent it. And so that is where we lived for our first few months of marriage. And it was a huge blessing. We love that space. We have so many great memories from there. And that's the kitchen that I cried a lot in learning to cook. And I felt like such a failure was in that little tiny kitchen. But God was good. He provided for us this house. Now, as springtime approached, do you ever have that feeling of maybe we're overstaying our welcome? No one said anything. They never gave us a reason to think that. Just both Scott and I were like, should we move? Should we look for a new place to live? And we're like, you know what? Let's just ask God. If we're supposed to go to a new place, then God will provide for us and He will show us. And I'll give you a funny example of why maybe we were feeling a bit uncomfortable was this older couple, their backyard, they had a saltwater pool. And they always told us, you can use it whenever you want, but we're not going to use someone else's saltwater pool, especially if, I mean, how awkward would it be to be in someone else's pool and then they want to go use it and you're in it? It was a heated pool too, so you could get in it in the winter. Well, as it was starting to get warmer out, Scott would go outside in our basement apartment where you walk out. It was literally the pool area. So he would walk outside and the lady, who was an older lady, she would be in her bikini laying out by the pool. And Scott said to me, I don't know what to do. Do I greet her or do I pretend like I don't see her? So those were the things that we were working through. And we're like, you know what, let's just pray and ask God what to do. So I don't know how many days went by. I could probably easily look at my journal and see because I journaled everything. But not that many days later, we were at someone's house. It was a prayer event at someone's house, and we were on our way back to our house. We got a text from the man, the owner of the house, and he texted us that he was having some serious health problems and that they are going to need to use our apartment for their daughter to move into so she can be his nurse. We started praying. Okay, now where do we live? We start looking around, driving around, asking friends, looking online, and Scott was helping a man from church with flipping houses. This man was a businessman who owned lots of properties in the area, and most of the time he rented them out to students, and Scott was doing construction work with him. So he asked him if he had any houses available, and the man said, yes, I have this little brick house available. It will be available June 1st and you can have it for 2 months, but it will need to be rented out again August 1st for students. And obviously that's not the most ideal circumstance, but for us, we needed to get out ASAP. And so we were like, this works. This will buy us enough time to find another place to stay. So we ended up moving everything out of our little basement apartment. We didn't have much, put our stuff in boxes. And all we had at the time was one little car, a Chevy Cavalier and a two-door Chevy Cavalier. So we loaded it up, moved it took several loads because of all the boxes that we had. And we moved everything into this little brick house, and we were going to live there for 2 months, and it was perfect. It really taught me that I can live on little. In that little brick house, we had no furniture. My sister and her husband had just gotten married. They gave us an extra mattress, so we put a mattress on the floor. That's what we slept on. We went to Walmart and bought two TV tables, and that was our table, and we sat on crates or boxes, and we pretty much lived out of boxes during our time at that house. And then we started looking for other places to live. There is an area and it is beautiful. There's trees that are just gorgeous in the fall, and I just have always loved that area. And there's very big, beautiful homes, but then there's also these beautiful old fourplex apartments. And they're not just your typical apartments, they're these gorgeous buildings, and even the inside is very pretty and unique. So we're driving through this neighborhood and we see a for rent sign, and so we call the number, we go and schedule a visit and talk to the lady, and we ask her, because again, now that we have Scott's immigration stuff approved of, we are now planning on leaving the country in January to go to South Africa for 3 months. So we were like, when is this going to be available? And she said it would be available August 1st. And she said we do 1 year leases. And so for us, we're like, well, we don't want a year lease because we're going to go back to South Africa and we may end up deciding to be missionaries in South Africa. So we don't want to be tied down to a place. And so we said, well, would you be willing to do a 5 month lease because we're going to leave the country in January. And so August 1st to January 1st would be ideal. And she said, no, we're not going to do a 5 month lease. We'll do a 6 month lease. It'll be February 1st. So we were like, that's fine, we'll just pay the extra month and we won't live there. So we nailed it down. That was where we were gonna move. August 1st was when we were gonna move in. It was gonna be perfect because we had this brick house for 2 months, then we were gonna move into this little apartment. Well, at the beginning of July, Scott finds out from the guy who owns all these properties. He tells Scott that he totally forgot that our house needs to be flipped as well, worked on. And so he's actually going to need us to be out of this square house by July 22nd. So he will have enough time to flip the house in time for students to come in. And we both were like, oh no, this is terrible. We can't get into our fourplex apartment until August 1st, and he's now asking us to move out July 22nd. What are we gonna do? Where are we gonna live? Where are we gonna put all of our stuff? We are having this conversation. Scott gets a phone call from another friend in a totally different sphere, and the friend says, Scott, I hate to do this to you. I'm so sorry. I know this is so last minute, but my family and I are going out of the country. We had asked other family to house sit and dog sit for us, and they said yes, but it just fell through. We desperately are in need of someone to watch our house and our dogs from July 20th to August 8th. Could you and Kelly do this? We will pay you. And it was very good money that they paid us. And we were shocked. Literally, we had to be out of the square house July 22nd. This man asked us to dog sit and house sit for him July 20th to August 8th. And so Scott's like, yes, would you mind if we moved a few of our things into your basement? Again, we had not a lot of stuff. It was just boxes and a mattress. That's it. We did not have much. And so he was like, yes, you can even use our van to do it. And so, as if that's not amazing enough, where their house is literally a 2 minute drive from where we were moving to. So it was beyond perfect. It was a 10 minute drive from our little brick house to get our stuff to their house. And we had a place to live, we had a place to put our stuff. And on top of that, their home was gorgeous. It was a retreat. My birthday was during that time. It was my first married birthday. And so it just felt like God gave us a little escape, a home away from home, a vacation, because they had a pool. It was just so amazing. They had adorable dogs. And so God did for us what we could have never imagined. We could have never asked for. The fact that the family members could no longer do it, and he asked us, and he was desperate for someone to help, all the things. So we were able to move our stuff into their basement, and then once our house was ready on August 1st, we were able to then move our stuff into our house. finish dog sitting at their house and then officially move into this little apartment. And so then we lived at this cute little apartment. And I do have to say also during that season at this little apartment place, God provided for us all the furniture that we needed. My sister and her husband were a huge blessing to us. They gave us several furniture items, tables and chairs and kitchen stuff. And then we had another friend, and they actually lived, again, right down the street from us. And they were moving to a whole different state, and they didn't want to take their washer and dryer with them, which was brand new. They had just bought. And the husband was this very detailed guy who liked really nice things. So he bought the top of the line washer and dryer, and they gave it to us. They said, it's going to be such a hassle to sell it. We just want you to take it. If you just don't mind coming and getting it out of the basement, then you can have it. So all we had to do was move it out of the basement and take it to our place. And that is still our washer and dryer to this day. It's the washer and dryer that they gave us. And then our other friends, they gave us a little cute leather love seat, and we went from having nothing to a fully furnished little apartment, and it was such a blessing. And then on top of that, remember I said we signed a 6-month lease thinking we were gonna have to pay for an extra month? Well, it turned out as we were getting closer, for some reason I happened to look at the paper lease with the dates and everything on it, and although we had asked for a 5-month lease, she was very stern. No, it's a 6-month lease. Well, I don't know where things went wrong, but the end lease date on our paper lease was January. So 6 months would have been February, but what she wrote was January. And so we were like, we're getting out in January. We're not gonna have to pay another full month's rent. And she never even said anything about it. When we moved out, we moved our things into my parents' basement, and then some of the other things in Scott's friend's basement. And then we went to South Africa for 3 months. And then even then, when we came back, that's an amazing story too, because obviously Scott and I had this mindset that we were going to have this amazing experience, this eye-opening moment that we're going to be in South Africa. We're supposed to be doing mission work there. But actually the opposite happened when we went there. We went back to the place where we met. And as we left, we both had this amazing peace that, no, this is not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be back in America. But the problem was we now had no place to live. All of our stuff was in my parents' basement and then a friend's basement, and we had no place to go. And we felt like we were supposed to still be in Lexington area. So it was about 3 weeks before we were about to come back to America, and my sister messages me and tells me that a friend from church who I knew of but I just wasn't close to, her and her family were going out of the country for 3 weeks, and they were wondering when we were going to be getting back into the country and if we would be able to house and dog sit for them while they're out of the country. And the timeline was so perfect. We were gonna fly back into America 3 days before they left, which was great because it gave us 3 days to stay with my parents and visit with them for 3 days since we had been gone for 3 months. And then we could then go to Lexington, go to their house, stay at their house for 3 weeks. And that gave us 3 weeks to find a place to live while still having a roof over our head. And again, getting paid to be there. And so again, while we were there, we happened to drive past a for rent sign in a neighborhood nearby at a house. And then we ended up signing a 1-year lease for that place. And that was the first place that I had my first garden season. So that was the mere beginnings. And so we'll stop there, but that is the story, our first year of how God always provided for us a place to live. So ever since then, anytime we've had to move, or really anytime we're in a situation of, okay, in the natural, this makes no sense. I do not know how this is going to all work out. We always think back to what God has done. It's the whole thing from Psalm 119. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. Hiding those testimonies in your heart so then when those situations come up, you can say, God, I know what you've done for me before. I know you've done it for other people, and I know that you're good. And so I don't know how you're going to do this, but I trust you, and I know that you are going to make all things work together. And then to posture your heart with open hands and expectation upon the Lord. I hope this story has encouraged you that God is faithful beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, and He is a good Father. So I hope that this encourages you today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.